everybody. Welcome to the Ordinary Church Podcast. This is a podcast about the church and for the church. You're hearing me, Connor. I'm here with Mike, and we are doing something that I don't think we've ever done before today. We are launched into a podcast, and we don't know the topic yet.
We do not know what we are doing.
We don't have a topic today.
No, so we have no topic. We have Bibles, though. We have Bibles.
We do have Bibles, and you're just going to get a hear Mike and I kind of stumble around until we find something that we want to talk about today on the podcast.
What are we going to call this one? Like Mike and Connor make it up as they go?
I don't know. That sounds like we're making up something that we shouldn't be. So,
but we are. We might. We're not. We're going to try not to do heresy today.
Right.
How about Mike and Connor try not to be heretics?
I like that idea.
Okay.
All right. That'll be the title.
But seriously, listeners, we have no idea our topic today. We did bounce a few around through. Just so you know what we do, okay? So this is a Wednesday morning. We start at 9 o'clock in the morning every Wednesday. And what we do is we record two devotional videos. And we post those up on Tuesdays and Fridays for Grace Orange. For those of you that are listeners that aren't in our area or aren't part of this Grace Orange Church. So we're the Ordinary Church Podcast. It's for the church and about the church. And so we get together on Wednesday mornings and we do two devotionals based on my preaching for the upcoming week. And so I do kind of a preview devotional and then I do a wrap-up devotional that will go next Tuesday. So it's Friday, Tuesday,
yep.
Kind of wrapping around the sermon.
All right.
As soon as we get done with that, we switch over and immediately put the microphones up for the podcast.
And sometimes we have a topic ready.
Sometimes we have a topic ready. More and more, we're sliding. We're slipping.
Sometimes we don't. So you're really getting the inside look at how the sausage is made here.
Let's just say we're not prideful today because all those other times it was just self-protective.
That's right.
You have to have one. Let's see.
That's
come
right.
up with one. Let's pretend like we've been studying this forever.
No pretenses today.
No pretense today. Yeah. It's just us. All right.
All right. What if I should ask the other a question? Do you want to ask a question or do you want me to ask a question?
Do I want to ask you a question? What did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had three eggs for breakfast.
Three eggs?
I did.
How do you know there were three?
Well, I made them.
Oh, so you cracked each one?
I cracked each one.
Did you scramble them or do you fry them?
No, I actually forgot to spray the
pan.
So they were kind of a mangled just heap of eggs by the end of it.
But I'm a scrambled egg guy. I don't like fried eggs. I don't like over easy. No way. I want my food all cooked or all raw.
Yeah.
Like sushi or completely cooked.
It's true. I can attest to that. If you've never eaten meat with Mike,
it's got to be cooked all the way.
It's got to be well done.
Or raw all the way.
True. Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny when I was in high school, I'm 58, by the way, for those of you who don't know. So I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And when Rocky came out, that movie Rocky. Mm-hmm.
What year was that? Was that like 70?
I think it was 76 or 78. Okay. I don't even remember. I graduated high school in 1980. So whatever that is, it was before that, I think. And he would take a glass of milk and then he would put raw eggs in it and mix it up.
Mm.
And I was a skinny guy in high school. I'm like, I want to be like Rocky. I want to be ripped like Rocky. So I would do the raw egg thing and mix it up. And then you just gulp it down and brace yourself for the raw eggs.
No milk, just eggs. Yeah. But yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
So now that we are sufficiently very far away from the Bible, why don't you ask me a question better than my question of
okay.
you. Have
okay, I'll ask you a question. Let me think. Okay, here's what I'm going to ask you. This could be from the Bible or it could be from anything else that you're reading or thinking about right now. What's one thing this week that's been encouraging to you?
Ooh, okay, I have it.
Okay.
So I take Mondays off, but Mondays aren't always like a day off, but I don't come in the office. And I try to do a Sabbath that day, right? I try to rest. And I opened up my email, I guess, and I saw an email from someone in our church. You might even be listening, so I won't name the name just so I won't embarrass anybody. But they sent me an email to remind me about something that I had taught years ago that helped them. And they pointed that out to me and said that they were able to share that with some people recently and that I think someone encouraged them or maybe the Lord just encouraged their heart to do it. I'm not sure how it worked out, but encouraged to reach out and thank me for doing that and just said, thank you for preaching the word and thank you for being our pastor and just you've had an impact in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously that kind of thing gives you wings. You know what I mean?
Better than Red Bull
gives you wings. No. Encouragement gives you wings. It does. It just lifts you up. And so that was a great encouragement. I even shared it right away with Angela, my wife. And I just said, look what so-and-so just wrote to me. Isn't this encouraging? And it was just a sweet moment for me. And, you know, life is filled with a lot of things, but I think most people don't get enough encouragement. And I'm not asking for people to send me, you know,
right.
notes.
Right.
I would rather be the encourager because, and I, you know, we're all called to encourage one another, but I'm not fishing for that. But that was really encouraging. Same question for you.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for sharing that. That is encouraging. Were you saying this in your sermon on Sunday, or am I imagining you talking about when Paul was talking about the word of God not being bound, that can even apply to time and maybe something that was preached years ago could impact someone's life? Was that you, or is that
maybe that was John MacArthur?
No, it was Philip DeCourcy. That's who it was. Yeah. We were in that little pastor's
usually
gathering.
The most memorable things are said by people not named Mike Shera. Okay. That's at least how I feel.
Hey, that's it's a tribute to you that I would think that you said something really good. Yeah.
Sometimes let me answer a question no one is asking. Sometimes I will write something because I like to write. I like to write poetry. I like to just write, you know, blogs. I've been writing a devotional every day since COVID started. And it's on our website called God's Truth for Trying Times. I do a blog called Looking to Jesus that's I do every once in a while. I did one the other day, did a blog post. But sometimes I'll write something and I'll go to my family and I'll say, I just read this. John Piper wrote it. Or I just read this. John MacArthur wrote it. And then I read it and they're like, that's you. That's you, Dad.
That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah. Or sometimes, that means you have a distinctive voice. That's what that means.
I know. It does mean that. But I because the thing is, if I said I wrote this, they'd be like, eh. Yeah. Yeah, we're not really that interested in what you have to say. But I will say, though, I am very interested in what God has to say in the Word. If you want to hear God speak, open up your Bible and read it. So let's just open up and read something from the Bible for our listeners.
Let's
do that.
Okay.
Let's edify them. I hope that this can be an edification, build people up. So I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it says this, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. This is verse 23, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you, do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, for some of you might go, why did you read that? Well, my Bible was open to it. I was going to read Romans 12, something from Romans 12 that I was reading with my men's group early this morning. I thought, no, read this. This is valid because we undercut the Lord's Supper. We really do. We sell it short in the Christian community. So maybe this one's on the Lord's Supper. Now, the idea, we just had the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table on Sunday at Grace Church of Orange. And one thing I realized recently is that we weren't even, you know, announcing at the beginning of the service. So we're having the worship leader and the service host and myself all kind of specifically say something and prep towards this because Jesus made this a big deal for his church. Like, when you're gathered, remember me. In the breaking of the bread and drinking of the cup, you're preaching the gospel to yourself until the Lord returns. You are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And there's a huge, huge seriousness and weightiness to this because if you do it in an unworthy manner, you're guilty of profaning the body and blood of Christ. And in an unworthy manner means not in accordance to its worth. And the worth of the Lord's table is remembering what Jesus did to purchase us from sin and give us new life. It's literally the whole Christian life. It's literally the whole gospel. And it's literally explaining the gospel and all that. So I just think we can't underestimate how important the word of the cross is and how it's illustrated at the Lord's table.
Hmm.
So,
thanks for reading that.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah. Well, I'm still calling this podcast Connor and Mike Try Not to Be Heretics.
Well, yeah, because we're still going. We're still going. By the way, speaking of heretics, you know, there's some people who say, oh, the Lord's table is open to everyone, believer and unbeliever alike.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the most heretical thing because, and I say it, what I call it, it's called, the old school word is fencing the table.
Yep.
And then you go, and when you're leading the Lord's Supper, you say, this is for believers. You don't have to be a member of this church, but you need to be a member of Christ's church, the universal church of Christ, comprised of all the regenerate, all those who have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. The Lord's table is not to be entered into lightly and unadvisedly, or not according to its worth.
Right.
And so an unbeliever cannot celebrate the Lord's Supper mm-hmm. and do the right thing. And so those that say that you can, and it, the open table, which has become very prevalent in some churches, is just heresy. So there.
You know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking this is just a more general thought on the Lord's Supper, but mm-hmm. it's pretty kind of God, and He knows us so well, obviously, as our Father, to give us such tactile things to remember Christ. You know, I mean, it's funny. We think we're in such an advanced society, mm-hmm. and, you know, we are people who just, our minds are palaces and all these kind of things. But then, you know, at the end of the day, the things that are most visibly given to us as believers to remind us of our, of the biggest realities in our life, our baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Yes. And I think
with the word, it's the ministry of the word that carries us. And so it is, it's obviously Romans 12:1, right? God's, you know, working through our minds and He's transforming us as our minds are renewed. But it's, you know, the thing that we do in addition to hearing the word and gathering to have fellowship and prayer regularly is baptize new people into the body and then regularly take the bread and cup together.
Yes.
And yes. It's just cool that God gives us something so tangible and tactile to remind us. He knows how, in some sense at least, you could say, He knows how simple-minded we are and how much we need those reminders.
Yeah, and the youngest to the oldest believer can get that, and it's right. a reminder.
Right.
So I've got a question for you, Connor.
All right.
What biblical doctrine has been on the forefront of your heart and mind recently, and maybe that, what biblical doctrine have you been mm-hmm. ruminating on or thinking about the most recently, or has encouraged your heart the most? Biblical doctrine.
Man, that's a really good question. Well, I just started doing a high school guy's Bible study on the attributes of God. So mm-hmm. I've been kind of starting to think about just more generally the attributes of God. And I think in that I'm reading Delighting in the Trinity mm-hmm. right now, and
Michael Reeves.
Yeah, so if
love
yeah,
that guy,
it's super good. I haven't read the whole thing, so Mike could speak to it better than me, but super good so far. So mm-hmm. I think probably the doctrine that I've been most thinking about in thinking about the attributes of God is the eternal love relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit, mm-hmm. and just how much happiness God has in being God. And then we're teaching through 1 John with the high school kids right now. And to think about some of those things tying into that, you know, specifically the idea that John's writing to the believers in that epistle so that they may have fellowship with John and with the other, you know, believers. But then John says, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So I think it's been just an encouraging time for me to think about, you know, what does it really mean to be a Christian mm-hmm. more than anything else? And this is what, you know, Michael Reeves says in the book, but more than anything else, it's entering into that love relationship, you know, between Father, Son, and Spirit through the redemption that's in Christ. So
sweet.
Yeah, those have been encouraging things for me. And I think, you know, I am constantly, I guess we all are, but I'm just constantly in danger of returning to my old legalistic ways. You know, the flesh wants to rise up, and any number of things I'm doing, you know, just mm-hmm. living my life, or especially, you know, maybe things around the church, doing ministry things, you can try to kind of, or you can fall into that, you know, mentality of working for the approval of somebody, even mm-hmm. for God's approval. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of freedom, you know, in just thinking about how much Christ has done to bring us totally into fellowship with God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's been good. Amen. Yeah, super good. So those things have been encouraging.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good question.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, you know, I'm preaching through 1 Thessalonians and the idea of the church and just this ecclesiology, I think, for me, and this model in the Trinity of the love of and the blessedness of God and His perfect fellowship, His uninterrupted fellowship, His pure fellowship within the Godhead is this model for the beloved who are loved and then love in turn. We love
right.
because God first
right.
loved us.
Right.
And it's just, I think, just to me, what blows me away is like, here's the model of God's love for us. And ours is so imperfect, but it also is—it's so reflective. It just reflects the glory of God. You know, we see the glory of God at the scene in the face of Christ and the glory in the gospel. But then you also see God's glory reflected in the church
yep.
in ways that are like startling at times.
Yeah,
because we're so imperfect.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was listening to a sermon recently and a guy was talking about, he'd been reading a book. There was another pastor writing and he said his granddaughter or somebody, you know, someone said to him one night when they were looking at the moon, "Look at the moon. It's so sunny," this little girl, you know, and he wanted to immediately correct her and say, no, it's not so sunny. It's so bright or whatever. But then as he thought about it more, he thought, hold on a second.
Yes.
She's actually saying something here. You know, uh-huh. The moon really is sunny. It's reflecting the light of the sun, obviously, and it doesn't have any light in itself.
Yeah.
And then this guy was just making the connection that we get to do that as believers, you know, reflecting God himself.
It's amazing.
Which is pretty amazing. Yeah, it really is.
It is, too. And especially, you think of Moses putting the veil over his face because the glory of God was so bright and it would diminish as it went on. You know, it would diminish as the further time went out. But just the idea that God, and then Christ in us, our hope of glory, so that, you know, future glory is Christ purchased us. He's in us. And this is our hope of glory. And it's just like rooted, you know.
Amen. Yeah.
So I just had this thought, by the way, Connor. Do you have another question?
No, I don't.
I just had this thought. I thought, you know, sometimes when you're in an airplane and you're on a trip and they say, we got to circle the airport a couple times because, you know, there's some air traffic or what have you. And we haven't got the go ahead to land yet.
Yep.
And then other times you're like, I hope they have enough fuel, you know? Well, listeners, today we're kind of circling the runway, but we have fuel. We could keep going. We have staff meeting in about 20 minutes. We could keep going. But I almost think let's just do one more question each. We'll each ask the other one more question, and then we'll break it off for today.
Okay.
So let's just do that because
there you go.
We're kind of circling and we're just doing whatever we want, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
But you go first, and then I'll ask you a final question. Then you bring it in for a landing.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Let me think of something. Let me think of something worth asking here. Okay. How about this question? We were just talking about your assignment for school.
Okay,
So if you don't know, Mike is in the middle of school. He's kind of a big deal. He's working on a demon right now. So here's my question, Mike. What has been the one thing that's been most exciting to kind of get your mind around as you've been working on this big final assignment for school?
Okay. Well, first of all, and I'm not saying this so that people go, ooh, but this is my second doctorate. I did one in 2000, and I've got my dissertation over there.
Right. It's pretty chunky.
It's like 325 pages. And the thing is, the first time I did one, I wanted everyone to know. And people that are listening are like, oh, you're doing another one? Yeah, because I don't really care if anybody knows, okay? But I do want to bless the church. And so my project is on, it's 1 Thessalonians and the beloved becoming beloved. And really, the idea that The high road is the beloved become beloved and there's unity. The low road, flip side of it, is we don't love and we separate and we make divisions. And so you think of the disunity, you think of the divisions that have happened, and even the critical spirit that has happened to so many Christians in the last year and a half. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about, you know, and really delve into the beloved becoming beloved in unity in the gospel, mm-hmm. and then, you know, in light of Christ's return and getting the gospel out. And so that's been amazing for me. I've been reading a lot of John Owen I've got the works of John Owen behind me here, and three of the volumes in the 16 volumes touch on the church. I've also got a small book that's relatively unknown by Owen on church unity. But I've also been reading a lot of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Lutheran guy. And so some of his theology was a little bit weird, but he was so spot on in terms of life in the church. And so the primary thing I've been really kind of thinking through since the summer really is his book, Life Together. And so I listened to it, I'm reading it, and then I'm just kind of going, I'm still just over and over again picking things out of it. And almost every sermon has a quote from Bonhoeffer and John Owen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think two guys could be more different than Owen and Bonhoeffer, right? You got this reformer in Owen who was so precise and so wrote so much. And then you've got Bonhoeffer who didn't write as much, but wrote some really pithy stuff. But more on the practical level, though for us, it still feels like it's weighty and kind of high-minded. And it was more in recent years, right? So I've been doing that, but the aggregate of the last 3 years or so of studying my office, you know, I've got a lot of books, and I've read tons of books, but the books that I've read in this program, this Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary on expositional preaching, just reading, you know, the breadth of so many books that I wouldn't have picked up otherwise has been literally life-changing and heart-shaping. Hmm. And then going, you know, I'm meeting a lot of good friends and making a lot of good friends in the program and just going over some of that stuff with each other. So
yeah.
I love it. And I think for me to work on this project, I really wanted to bless Grace Church of Orange. And I thought, I think what we need is really a deep look at what does it mean to be the church together? What does it mean to be the beloved? And what's the implications? And so that's kind of where we're going. And we're, what, 4 weeks in now and in 1 Thessalonians. I'm gonna preach the entire 1 and 2 Thessalonians back to back, because 2 Thessalonians was written very quickly after 1. Mm-hmm. But my project will be the first 8 sermons, which will be taking us through chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians,
cool.
which caps off with this prayer at the very end, where basically it's like,
right.
I'm praying that your love will abound still more and more, increase and abound. Two words that are really deep, increase and abound, still more and more. And just God doing his work amongst us until Christ returns.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Okay. So question for you.
Last question.
Yep. You'll do this question and then you'll bring the plane in for the landing. Okay.
Perfect. Yep.
Okay. So you've recently graduated from seminary with a MDiv.
Right.
And this is a two-part question. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
What was the most impactful aspect of your seminary training? Could be a professor, could be a book you read, could be your interactions with me. So there's that. The most impactful aspect of your seminary training. And then how have you seen it play out in the ministries that you're involved in the local church? Hmm. How has that kind of made its way into that?
That is such a hard question.
I major in hard questions.
I know you do. That was very penetrating. Man, most impactful thing about seminary. I was just talking to Brian Zuniga yesterday about his time in seminary and what was impactful for him. Yeah, for me, you know, I would say there's so many things. I think a lot about, you know, how I would think about the Bible, teaching, studying, all of that has been hugely shaped by seminary. I was just telling someone the other day about the first time I ever had a chance to teach in like a youth group setting. This was at the former church that I was at. Mm-hmm. It was Psalm 8. And it was probably the worst. It was like awful.
But the Bible is perfect.
Well, the Bible's perfect.
But and your when sermon I read was it, not when so
I,
hot.
When I mean, I don't. I just don't even know what I did. I barely studied. You know, I just kind of like got up there and just talked. It was horrible. It wasn't even really preaching. Probably, you know, it was like a running, and it was boring. I'm sure. No illustrations. No any of that. You know, I just thought my good looks would carry me. And obviously, they didn't. No, but so I think all of that, like, yes and amen. Masters, mm-hmm. I think, had a huge impact on how I think about the Bible and life in the church. But, you know, I would say the thing that really stands out in my mind about seminary, maybe more than anything else, is all of the men that I met at seminary, and specifically meeting guys from all around the world. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the most impactful thing. I hardly thought at all about the church outside of Orange County before mm-hmm. going to seminary. I've mm-hmm. grown up here my whole life. I never knew anything else. So mm-hmm. to go to Masters, and I mean, I have friends from Masters from every continent aside from Antarctica, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe I have one from Antarctica too. I don't know. But to know guys from, you know, just all parts of the world and to hear about all of the ways that God is working through the church in those parts of the world, the struggles that they're facing, the need, you know, for the gospel in other parts of the world, all of those kind of things were just totally radically new for me. Mm-hmm. Hadn't, you know, thought about those things before. So probably a year or two into seminary, I actually got pretty convinced that it was going to be missions, you know, for me. I was like, man, if there's so much need, then I want to go. And we've talked a lot about this, obviously, mm-hmm. and that still may be where Emily and I end up. You know, we're just not sure. But I think all of that was just super impactful. And then I think at a local church level, how that's, you know, played out, I guess in a lot of ways, but one way would probably be just in the opportunities I have to be encouraging and discipling other believers here. I think that even just thinking, you know, about the church across the world gives a different flavor mm-hmm. to, you know, what ministry looks like. You know that. I mean, you've traveled much more than I have and actually seen these things for yourself. I haven't and need to, I think, you know, but just even knowing that I have, you know, friends from China, friends mm-hmm. from New Zealand, friends just, you know, mm-hmm. in all parts of Africa, like hearing about what believers face there, it just puts a different spin on how I would think about ministry here. And I think it's maybe in some way saved me from just getting caught up in a very kind of Orange County, you know, mindset and approach mm-hmm. towards ministry. So not that I'm totally saved from that. I'm still mm-hmm. the product of it in so many ways. But I think that seminary helped.
That's good.
So yeah, that'd be my answer.
That's good to hear. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Praise God for all that. Okay. Yes. Well, it's my responsibility to bring in the plane for a landing. I think, and we may get an email otherwise, I think we actually managed to avoid heresy there.
I'm pretty sure there was no heresy this time.
I think it was good. Yeah. Okay. Well, we succeeded in our podcast title then.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Anyways,
Jesus
listeners,
is Lord.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Thanks for listening to what hopefully was some maybe encouraging rambling. Mike and I, we spend all kinds of time together, and we know, you know, if you think that, well, I mean, maybe you see Mike more than me, but you know, if you think that we're like perfect Jesus people, nothing could be further from the truth than
that. Always in process,
and by God's grace, growing,
advancing. I love it when Paul said, you know, until I'm my children whom I am in travail until Christ is fully formed in you.
Yep.
Right. God is conforming us to the image of Christ.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So we hope that was an encouragement to you. We love you and we pray for you. If you have any questions, you can always send them to us at grace@graceorange.org. And until next week, we hope you have a wonderful week living life with the Lord. And we'll talk to you next time on the Ordinary Church Podcast. Have a great day.